Yes, sir.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Forms and Fighting Champion John Chong, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Well, hello, everyone. It's me, the Wolverine, filling in again for Professor Gary Lee. And we are looking forward to having a great show tonight. But before we get started with that, we want to wish Professor Gary Lee well and his continued to get better and his continued progress. We did put up a GoFundMe to help the professor out because it's going to cost a lot with all these medical bills coming in. So I really appreciate anyone that could to go on to the GoFundMe page, and all those proceeds will go directly to Professor Gary Lee's medical expenses. And we just would like to ask for your continued prayers in that. And I just want to say, Professor, we love you, and we're holding down the fort till you get back, sir. But at this time, I'd like to bring on Mr. Jesse Bowen. He is the producer of the show. And he also has an event, and he also has the book. So bring him on and let him talk a little about that before we bring on our guest. Mr. Bowen, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am. Hey, happy Tuesday. You know, again,
Tuesday,
I send
sir.
Out my prayers and wishes to Professor and, you know, Dana Abbott. We were both talking about him today and wishing him well. He's was on the schedule for being with us in June at our event, and we're hoping and praying that he'll be up to it well and all those wonderful things, and for him to know that there are definitely a lot of people that care about him and also about the things that he is doing for the martial arts and all the things he's done for the martial arts. And this is a reason for the book, because for a lot of martial artists that do a lot of tremendous deeds in the martial arts, sometimes they're forgotten. They're not known. And when you don't know something, then you don't really have a great appreciation for, you know, what it is or for who that person is. So the more information, we are in an information age. And the more that we know, the more that we can appreciate, and then knowledge becomes power. And so many times that, as fast as the world is changing, and we're taking words out of the dictionary, we're adding new words in, you know, in the historical part of who we are as martial artists, we don't want for things to be taken out and added in. And the reason why they would be taken out, because someone doesn't know it exists, or they don't know the value, and we want to keep that value system going. So this is the fifth book in the series of Who's Who in the Martial Arts, and the new series now that we've started is an AMAA Martial Arts Masters and Pioneers book. And I'm asked all the time, well, do I have to be a karate champion to be in the book? Well, this book is not it's not a champion's book. We've written the first three books were about champions and who were the champions of the past and in sport, karate, kickboxing. This book is totally different. This book is really about the martial artist. It's about the unsung hero, the person that may not be known, but has done, you know, great things in their community. They have been a part of making a difference. And this is the reason why we're so excited, because we're celebrating the people that, you know, that hardly ever get celebrated. If you're a champion, everybody knows your name, your picture's in the book, and all that great stuff. But now, you know, when you if you're not one of those champions, you don't get known. So we've established this book to be a biography book. If you've got credible credentials and you've got a story, then, you know, you can be a part of the book. We have over 600 nominations that we're sifting through right now to be a part of the book. Unfortunately, only about 250 of those people will be able to be featured in the book. but we do have other events coming up that they can participate in. So all this is going to be happening on June 28th and 29th in Las Vegas. It's going to be at the Orleans Hotel and Casino. We're partnering with Century. Today is the last day for our alumni and our inductees to be able to get discount tickets to the Super Show. And, you know, if you're looking to find out more information about the book, you can go to our website, which is whoswhointhemartialarts.com, or you can email me at amaawhoswho@gmail.com, or you can just give me a call. The number is 919-618-8075. So if you know of someone that has a story, let's share that story now. Publish the story. Get it out in the world so their students, family, friends, and the world can appreciate who that person is as a martial artist. Hey, thank you, sir. Turn it back over to you.
Okay. I tell you, that is a lot of great information. And for you people out there listening at home, you know, Mr. Bowen puts on a great event. And like you say, you want to, you know, this book is great. He's doing great things, keeping people informed. And that's what the Sport Karate History Museum and the book are all about, is keeping people informed about the history of martial arts. And like Mr. Bowen said, whether you are a world champion or, you know, a martial artist that are doing great things, you know, some martial artists become martial artists and they just, you know, they're satisfied with just, you know, teaching a small group or training people private lessons. And some people do great things and use their martial arts to raise money for different charities and different things of that nature. So it's always good to find out and hear about those people that may not be, like Mr. Bowen said, on the martial arts circuit, touring and doing things of that nature, so that people, you know, recognize them and appreciate them for the hard work that they've done. Because anybody out there that's made it to instructor level knows that it's a lot of hard work to get to that level. So we want to make sure that those people get to be recognized as well. Also, don't forget the celebrity roast of Professor Gary Lee, and that will be at the Hilton Galleria in Houston, Texas, September 27th and 28th. It's the Legends Awards Banquet, and we'll be doing that roast. And not only that, but at that same time, Kata Wars will be going on. You have to have won at least 100 first place to be invited to Kata Wars and to be able to compete in it. I've been lucky enough to compete in it the last couple years. I plan on putting a smackdown on Johnny Murphy this year. So, Johnny, if you're listening, brother, I love you, but you know what time it is. A great guy, one of the best martial artists I've ever seen. Johnny Murphy's won the Kata Wars 2 years in a row. He's an amazing, amazing martial artist. Great dude. I really love him. Got a lot of respect for him. We'll be doing the Kata Wars. Not only that, but we will be going into the Kenneth Funakoshi Traditional Challenge. And so what will be happening there is, if you're a traditional martial artist in Goju-Ryu, Shuto-Ryu, Shotokan, you'll be doing your division in that style, competing against other people from that very style, and narrowing that down to one winner. Then all those winners will compete against each other for one winner of the traditional challenge that will go on to move up and compete in the Kata Wars against the extreme people and the people that have already been in there and already have a seed. So that's going to be a big deal. I just found out that there will also be a Hawaiian Whammy, which will be a sparring that will be taking place at the Living Legends Awards, also in Houston, Texas. So we will get you more information about that as it becomes available. So that's just a lot of great stuff that we have starting out there in Houston at the Houston Galleria Motel. And you want to make sure that you get those tickets. You can go online. You can go to the Sport Karate History Museum website, get on there and get your tickets ordered. get your tables ordered, or even make a nomination for something. Not only that, this year it's a double whammy. We will be also in November, 1st and 2nd, in Las Vegas, Nevada. I think the town is called Somewhere Town. And we will be doing the celebrity roast of John Natividad, the giant killer. And I don't know how many people, I mean, most everyone out there, if they're a martial artist, know John Natividad and know what he's done. But Grandmaster Natividad is an amazing individual. He's a super nice guy, great to just sit around and talk to. But these are the type of people that when you are in their presence, you need to ask questions and talk to them, because we are losing our pioneers and our legends at such a fast rate. And we need to absorb as much information from these people as we possibly can, because it's important to the growth of martial arts as we go forward as martial artists. No matter what it is, the information that we get from these people can help us as martial artists in a lot of different areas, whether it be promoting your school, teaching classes, or competition, in kata, sparring, weapons, breaking, you know, self-defense. No matter what it is, these people have a lot of information that can be passed down, and it's really good that the people that are in martial arts, you should know the history of martial arts and know background of martial artists and what they stand for and who they were and what they did for martial arts. It's very important, and that's one thing that the Sport Karate History Museum is really, really big on, and that's why we have the history generals, and they keep up with the history. And the history generals don't just keep up with history. They have been a part of martial arts for a long, long time, many decades. That way we keep a good record of it, of what's going on. And with that being said, I would just like to say that we're just back from Quebec, Canada, from the Quebec Open. It was an awesome event, very well ran. And I just wanted to, if Professor Gary Lee's listening, I know he already knows, but I dedicated my victories to Professor Gary Lee and was taking that time to compete and do that for Professor, and hoping that'd make him feel good and just feeling that strength and get that chi going. But it was an amazing, amazing time. But I will say, there is no place on earth like America. I've been all over this world, and America is the greatest country in the world, and everyone that lives in it should thank God every day that they wake up under those stars and stripes, because America is an amazing, amazing place. But tonight we have a great guest that's going to be on here. He's an amazing individual, and he's going to tell you a lot about himself and a lot about what he does, and he uses martial arts in a way that is really change things. I'm not going to give it away till he gets, but in a way, change things as far as protecting people and helping keep a community safe. And he is a member of the Guardian Angels, and not just a member, but he is one of the commanders of the Guardian Angels over the Baltimore chapter. And he's over my chapter that is here in Florida, and he's an amazing guy. And this is what we're talking about with the book. These are the type of people that need to be recognized for things that they do, because a lot of things that the Guardian Angels do, even armed police officers would not do. So these guys put their life on the line just like a police officer, except they do it unarmed, and the only weapon that they have is their martial arts background. Mr. Strider, are you there, sir?
I'm here. How are you?
Doing good, sir. I know this was a quick last-minute thing, because we couldn't get some of the other people that were wanting to be, that were supposed to be on the show, didn't get called in. So you jumped up to the plate just like a guardian angel to jump in at the last minute and save the day. So I really, really appreciate you taking the time to be on the show, sir. It means a lot.
Any minute I get to talk to the Wolverine is good for me. I always look forward to speaking with you.
Well, I appreciate it, sir. I do have a list of stuff, and I will be getting to you for jackets and things of that nature coming up here pretty soon. I've just been so busy with the competitions and all this other stuff, I hadn't got that list out to you. But I got a big group of Spartan looking guys that are ready to hit the streets down here in Florida. So we need to get them colors up. But could you
I
just
can't wait.
Yeah, me either. But I'd like just to tell the listeners at home who you are, when you got started in the martial art. You can even tell us about who your instructor was, things of that nature, because you and I have talked a lot before, because when my house caught on fire, obviously you called me. And, you know, similar things had happened to you when your instructor had given you some things that were pretty phenomenal things that you had lost in the fire. So I think that'd be good for the people just to find out about, and then we'll go on from there and talk about, you know, what it means to be a guardian angel, because I think a lot of people need to understand what that is all about and what an honor it is to be a guardian angel. I know that's one of my biggest honors is being able to say, yeah, I'm a guardian angel and you know, actually be one. And so I think that'll be great. So, yeah, you can just start from the top and go, and I'll get quiet.
No, I appreciate it, and I definitely want to thank you for the opportunity. And, you know, I'm really proud to have you as a member of the Guardian Angels, and especially as a part of my specific region and team. I remember the day we first met, and I tell you what, it was one of the best days that I can remember as far as Guardian Angel recruitment, because you are truly a blessing. You kind of just fell right into our lap. So I tell you what, that pleasure is mine. So I thank you so much, and I look forward to all the good things we got coming up.
Yeah,
my name is Marcus
Strider
Dent.
I appreciate
and,
that.
My pleasure. And I actually became a member of the Guardian Angels originally when I was probably 17 years old in Baltimore when they first got together. They started in 79. I think I joined around 1980, my twin brother Cass and I. And we learned about the Guardian Angels organization through the Black Belt magazines, Kung Fu Illustrated, and you know, all of those magazines that, you know, when you go through training, you want to learn through stuff, you know, and you're going to classes. And, you know, those were the newspapers of the martial arts back then, you know, when I was coming up.
Right.
And that's how we first got involved in the Guardian Angels and the martial arts. But prior to that, I was trained by a guy named Orlando Yarbrough out of Essex, Maryland, who, you know, was the retired FBI guy and took the Kung Fu style. And, you know, one of the greatest mentors I've had in my life. And he, you know, he still is a part of my life. And what I wanted to touch on was what you guys were talking about as far as martial arts and the benefits of it. It's amazing, because a lot of people join the martial arts to compete or to stay fit, or, you know, but there's so many reasons to join martial arts and self-defense. And it's so many things that you learn, and it kind of becomes a way of life for you and kind of makes you who you are. In my incident, I got started young because, you know, I basically had an issue with, you know, domestic violence, that kind of thing, in my childhood. And when that happens, you know, at home or in school or whatever, one of those reasons, you always have this sense of insecurity about you. And one of the things that I wanted to do was to start training and put myself in a place that I would never have anybody push me around or hurt me ever, ever, ever again. So it was basically a personal decision on my part. And it's something that kind of taken a hold of me and even my twin brother Taps, to the point where, you know, as you know, anybody who's ever trained in some sort of self-defense or organized martial arts or self-defense, basically you want that confidence. You want to be able to walk down the street and never look over your shoulder again. You know, you don't do it to be bullied. You do it for a peace of mind for yourself. And what I learned over the years and what Orlando Yarbrough has basically helped teach me, and I've also had another instructor, Jim Taylor, who was also retired Baltimore County police officer. These guys basically who had become great martial artists of their own, who decided to give back. And one of the people that they decided to give back to was me. And I'm really blessed for that, because you learn so much more than fighting skills. You learn to be a credible person. You learn to give back to your community. You learn to stand up for yourself, and you also learn to step up for others. And it's amazing that the process, I'm an older guy now, I'm in my 50s, and everything falls into place to make me who I am right now, where if you say to yourself, okay, let's go back in time, or let's take this block of time out. You know, you take back the block of time that I spent with these guys or martial art training or learning to be disciplined, and you basically will lose what you have today. You lose a piece of who you are right now. And it's amazing to me because very seldom do we actually stop and say, you know, how do we get to where we are today? Who are we? You know, and my history with the martial arts and within the Guardian Angels have basically made me who I am today. I met Curtis Sliwa when I was 17 years old. Being a Guardian Angel taught me to basically go into a room and speak to people and not be intimidated by them. Lead people, help people, you know, a self-starting type thing. Just sort of one of those where you go into a room and you say, okay, here's the guys that's going to rise to the top because I have the tools given to me through martial arts and the Guardian Angels to be able to make an assessment about myself and knowing what gifts I have within me, but also recognizing the gifts that are in people on my team or people in the communities or people I run across every single day. And it to me, that's a gift. That's a gift, and it makes you a better person, and it makes the people you associate with better people. You know, it's amazing to me, but I can't talk about how much respect I have for people such as yourself. I follow you on a daily basis. We still communicate on what we got to do, and although life has its trials and tribulations for all of us, we're all busy, we all have families, we all have lives, we all have ups, we all have downs. But we all, there's a certain core to us that makes us who we are to give back and stay that steady course. There's some part of a line that we just won't cross, and it's amazing. And in the Guardian Angels, I've had the benefit of, like I said, I started training with the martial arts when I was younger and following the Black Belt magazines and all this stuff, And through the Guardian Angels, I've been actually able to meet a lot of the people that were my idols growing up. You know, Bill Superfoot Wallace or Cynthia Rothrock or Benny the Jet and Sean Kelly's. All these guys are the ones that, and it's amazing to me because all this stuff came to me because of where I've been in the past. You know, I've given back, I see these guys and still I look at them in awe and I'm like, wow, you know. And the funny right. thing about it is most of those guys are Guardian Angels or have been Guardian Angels at one time. You know, Bill Superfoot Wallace, yeah. you know, who I'm proud to call a friend, you know, he's come to Baltimore and taught my team and trained with them. He's walked the streets on patrols, you know, him, Sean Kelly, and even the great Joe Lewis. You know, that is a yeah. big deal, you know, and I'm proud to have shared the colors with these guys. But, you know, I think that a lot of people don't know the mission of the Guardian Angels or the benefits of the Guardian Angels. And I think, you know, to understand fully the benefits of the Guardian Angels for me and people around me is to actually be able to walk in those shoes. I mean, you've done it. You've stood in the room with Curtis. You've seen, you know, the energy that comes from the group of the Guardian Angels, you know, and when you got the martial arts also inside of it, now you know you've got this full circle mission. You can not only help people, but you can help yourself and you can continue to grow. And to me, it's a big deal. It's an honor. It's a pleasure. It's a gift. And you know, to this day, all the guys that I've come up with through the martial arts, we're still family. We're still together. You know, and I can call any one of them and say, hey, I need right. something. I need this because, you know, that's your core group. Those are the guys you came up with. You guys have a like-minded mission, you know, a like-minded a core values. It's such a big thing. And I think that I don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for that path that I had that brought me to where I am today.
Yeah. And that's, you know, touching on that, that you brought up, you know, Grandmaster Lewis and Superfoot Wallace and Sean Kelly, people of this nature. This is what I'm saying is, that people don't understand, these guys were already well-known world champions, but that still was not enough. It's to them and myself, it's even more fulfilling to be a guardian angel even than to be a world champion, because you know that you're giving back and protecting people and helping people move forward. And just the fact that you mentioned those names were being a part of the guardian angels should just let people know just what a big honor it is to be a guardian angel. And not only that, but what caliber of people that the guardian angels are. And you're exactly right. When you're in the room with Curtis and the whole group of guys, it's the energy is super intense. It's nuclear.
It can be overwhelming. It really can. It really is.
Yeah.
And like I said, I've met so many great people, you know, being a guardian angel. And, you know, you think about it, you know, being that over the years, how the guardian angels have evolved since 1979, everything from community crime watch patrols all the way up to now to the angel watch programs. They have the pet abuse section now, the guardian angels. We have the missing person units out there. We have the perp patrols. There's so much. And the good thing about it is we've evolved into a 100% community service organization where, you know, whatever it is you have a need for, the guardian angels are going to figure out what they can do to help there. And these are volunteers. These aren't people that are paid or who have to do this. You know, like you said, these are world champions. These are cops. These are mayors. These are just regular people who say, okay, you know what? I'm going to give back. I'm going to do what I can. And it's all over the world. We have chapters all around the world. I don't even think Curtis Sliwa understands how phenomenal the Guardian Angels actually are. It's a big deal.
Probably not. Yeah, and you know, the thing of it is the Guardian Angels have put a stop to a lot of stuff, such as crimes and different things in areas of Baltimore and New York and places like that, that even the police couldn't handle. And that's the amazing thing about them, is that no matter what, they still went in unarmed, took care of business, and got the peace and got the, you know, the safety to where people could actually walk the streets again. And that's things that the police couldn't handle. And that's an amazing thing that people should understand that these people do, and they did it for free. They did it to give back. And that's not a lot of people that do that. Matter of fact, that not the military goes to war for the community, but even the military is paid. You know, and step into a war zone such as some of the places that the Guardian Angels has been in, New York and Baltimore and different places, and go up against the gangs and the violence that they've went up against unarmed and come out the victor on top and quell the situation and bring safety and peace to people is an amazing, amazing thing, more so than being a world champion or anything else.
Well, and the I guess the best part about it is that, you know, the Guardian Angels are able to build relationships with the police department and the fire department and the community, or, you know, and I guess the public officials to make it happen, because realistically, you know, one, we all know we can't live without police. It just can't happen.
Exactly.
And
yeah, no.
And the work that they have, you know, you have to have some sort of a team. And the Guardian Angels are, I guess I'm honored to have been lucky enough to have such a great relationship with the police department in Baltimore, you know, and with that, it opens the doors, like, you know, of course, we deal with the sheriff's department down in Panama City Beach, which are great, you know, for Guardian Angels. And I think that the community has to tie in. That's the biggest part of the Guardian Angels' success, because once we go into the communities and we build our allegiances with them and we help educate them, they help educate us, and we tie in the other public officials and stuff, that's where the key comes in. I think we lose that communication and we separate who does what. And I think the part of the power of the Guardian Angels is helping to bring people together and fill those gaps.
The
Guardian, it's a great organization. And like I said, I'm looking forward to coming down there with you guys and doing some things. But yeah, it's
great.
Yeah,
we look forward to it also.
you know, I think that anybody who's interested, you know, can hit me up on Facebook, Marcus Strider Dent, send me a message, send me an email, because pretty much there's pretty much a Guardian Angel chapter somewhere in your neighborhood. I mean, they're there. And we're always looking to start brand new chapters everywhere across the country and even around the world.
Right. And you know, just that's like you said, there's so many different things that the Guardian Angels take part in, like the pets and different things of that nature. And just, you know, even if it's just patrolling people's neighborhoods and things of that nature, you know, it's just so many different avenues. But you're exactly right. The Guardian Angels working with the police department is a good bridge for the police department to work with the community and bridge that gap. And like you say, yeah, the Guardian Angels brings everyone together because it takes teamwork. You know, like the saying goes, it takes teamwork to make the dream work. And that's a big part of it is being able to do that in a way so that everyone comes to a common understanding and common ground. And that's, you know, that's an amazing thing just for the Guardian Angels to do, period, or for anybody to do. And like I say, you know, the Guardian Angels guys goes out unarmed, you know, using their martial arts skills if need be. But the Guardian Angels now have such a good, strong presence of being a protective organization to different areas. I was working down here walking. They had a festival here, and, you know, we sent pictures in to you, but we, you know, we walked the street there in the Guardian Angels uniform, and just the respect of the people when they seen us, you could hear people saying, oh, man, those are uniformed Guardian Angels. Man, you ain't even play nobody playing down here. So people knew the reputation just by seeing the colors that, okay, look, everybody's going to be doing what they need to do at this event and not be showing out because they respect the Guardian Angels so much. And I had people coming up to me telling me stories about them growing up in New York when the Guardian Angels first started and how the Guardian Angels would keep one foot on the sidewalk, step off into the road, step back onto the sidewalk to let the people know that it was safe to walk down that block to the next block. And there would be a Guardian Angel at each block doing that. And these people are like, you know, if it hadn't been for the Guardian Angels, I probably wouldn't even been here today because I was in a rough neighborhood. These guys kept it safe. So the impact that the Guardian Angels make on other people's lives, I don't think any of us really know exactly how much that impact is, especially Curtis, that what he has created has done so much for so many.
Oh, I totally agree. And no matter what city I'm in, it's funny. And like you said, somebody always has a Guardian Angel story. And I can never hear enough of them. And it's so funny because when you walk out the door and people, they see their red beret, they see them colors, and they say, oh, that's a Guardian Angel, no matter what. And then the stories come out, you know. But it's, you know, but with that comes great responsibility in itself because, you know, we want people to know that when you do see somebody walking down the street in those Guardian Angel colors, they've been approved, they've been vetted. You know, so we don't, you know, no knuckleheads are going to go inside there. So we pretty much have to watch everything we do in and out of colors as we walk down those streets because we want to make sure that we don't do anything to step outside that Guardian Angel reputation or bruise or make ourselves look bad. So, yeah, it's a lot of
right.
Responsibility just wearing those colors. And again, you do have to realize that the Guardian Angels have never carried weapons. We don't even carry any, like, big oversized flashlights or anything that can be used as a weapon, you know. But we want people to know, yeah, we are definitely approachable. We come with empty hands. We are all about peace, you know. But, again, the martial arts and the Guardian Angels self-defense tactics all come into play. Why? Because it's necessary. And, you know, because most people see that, we can actually use our presence and our stances to basically defuse any situation. So, very seldom do we get into altercations and fights. It's great. It's great, and that's because of all the people that have come before us and the reputation that the Guardian Angels have tried to uphold.
Right, and the respect that they brought in, and like you say, that is exactly right. The Guardian Angels has a good relationship, and when they talk to people, they talk to people with respect. They don't talk down to them, and this diffuses most of the situations, and they don't have to use their martial arts skills. But if it you know, comes to that, they obviously can, you know, defend themselves. So I know that the guys in our group here, they all train in the last defense system, which is the defense system that we train to the United States Special Forces. And, you know, but all these guys, they have great attitude. They're not looking to be a bully. They're not looking to try to impose their will. They approach people with respect and honor and show that person respect. And if even if they're doing wrong, and most of the time just talking to someone and letting them know what's going to be accepted and what's not going to be accepted works without having to do anything. And it's just about, you know, most people out there, they just want to be respected. Even if they're doing something at the time that they're not supposed to, if you show them a little bit of respect, they will come to grip and realize, okay, you know what, I'm stepping out of bounds and this guy's being really cool and showing me some respect. And not only that, they've got in the back of their mind, this guy's a guardian angel, so he's more than likely going to be able to work through me pretty quick. And it's because of the reputation of guardian angels in the past, and that's why the guardian angels of today, like you say, train and make sure that they're ready so that they're ready for any kind of thing that may come their way, because the main thing about being in a patrol like the guardian angels are is you have to be ready for everything because you don't know what might happen, correct?
No, correct. And you think about it, the Guardian Angels was formed to take care of bad situations. I mean, and when I say take care of it, basically to help, you know, the community when it comes to violent crime and things like that. That's what the Guardian Angels were formed on. And when we have the good times, when we have the decent events, and we have, you know, the things that we can show up and we can actually talk and teach, those are perks. But the main mission of the Guardian Angels was to help people, you know, who were victims of crime. And that sometimes is a hard pill to swallow. Like I said, you know, there's many times, you know, I've stepped out in the Guardian Angels and, you know, you go home and you say to yourself, man, you know, the guy that I've dealt with today, you know, was a missing person, or this guy here was homeless, or this guy I just witnessed. You know, I just talked to the mother of somebody's kid who was just killed tonight by gang violence. And, you know, so it's a big deal. It's a big responsibility. So, you know, that's the reason of the Guardian Angels. It's nice to see people on the street and say, oh, can I get a picture with you? Or can we talk about this? Or I remember this. But in reality, the Guardian Angels were basically formed to basically handle bad situations, victims of crime. And that's the mission.
Right. And it's a great mission also. And it's a needed mission. And like you say, the Guardian Angels are always looking to create different chapters in different areas. You know, and like my position is kind of trying, you know, being a liaison between the Guardian Angels and the military and bringing in some military guys as they ACAP and get out of the military. Because it gives them a uniform back, it gives them a purpose back, and it makes them feel appreciated. And that's another
and
good
I,
thing is you know,
and,
you know
oh
yeah
my,
go ahead.
You know, I'm so glad you brought that up, because like I said, the, you know, you and I talked before about this, and one of the main things that I'd like to do, especially with you and your team down there, is to basically put together something so we can have these vets come into the Guardian Angels, because realistically, again, it gives them a sense of purpose. It puts them in uniform. These guys already have the tools needed to be Guardian Angels in the first place. And, you know, we talked again before. You look at the suicides within the military. I mean, this is something that I definitely want to do, which is one of the main reasons why I wanted to recruit you so bad, because this is important. And like you said, this is the greatest country in the world. And it's that way because of the veterans that we've had out there that fought for us to give us the freedom to do the stupid things that we do sometimes. And I think now, you know, more than ever, we need to use the Guardian Angels to help these guys, help us put things back in this perspective and help take care of them as well. You know, give them a reason to go ahead and belong. Yeah, you may not be able to deal with the military, you know, anymore, but we have a place for you here. And I think it is so important that we get involved.
Right. And, you know, a big part of the Guardian Angels that I want to bring up to people is the Guardian Angels come from many different backgrounds, races, religions, but everybody comes together and everybody is at peace and everybody works together. And there's so much that people in general could learn from the Guardian Angels just in how to respect each other and respect their fellow Americans. And that's one thing that Americans need to understand. Like I said before, if you have traveled outside the U.S. for far as being military or anything else, you will realize what a great, great country that we live in and what great opportunities that you are given. And, I mean, when you go to other countries, they don't cater to people coming into their country. The United States is the only place that caters to people coming into the country. And with all these different people coming in, that does create different problems. You know, you have different problems come up. And that's why it's good that now you have the Guardian Angels that are right there to step in. How can we help you? Okay, you're upset. You're upset. Let's figure out. Let's come to a common agreement here and find out what's going on so that it ends arguments that between people and brings people together that may not have ever came together, you know, outside of not meeting a Guardian Angel, if that makes sense.
Would you agree? Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, I do, because, like I said, a lot of times, you know, the Guardian Angels have, you know, basically used mediation to help bridge gaps between adversaries. You know, I mean, this is what we do. And you know, people fear the unknown. You know, and once we get in there and we start talking and we get to meet each other, there is no more unknown. You know, and now we open up a door for communication and understanding. That's how it works.
Right. Because I know that the Guardian Angels in the beginning, you know, they really went into some rough places, and, you know, Guardian Angels was even killed during their patrols, but they just kept going back. You know, and that is a testimony to what the Guardian Angels are, because no matter what, their spirit, their heart, and their commitment to the job that they were doing was they had it. They was not backing off of it. And in the end, they come out victorious and get everything stopped and bring a peace to a situation that people thought peace wouldn't exist in, you know.
Oh, definitely. And you know, and like I said, I can't thank you enough for having me on here, because, you know, I always love talking about the Guardian Angels and of course the martial arts and community and how important it all is. I mean, it's a big deal.
Right. Well, I'm going to take a little break, and then I'm just going to I do the Kicking It with the Wolverine, but like I say every week, we're already kicking it with the Wolverine. But I'm just going to go over a few points, and then I'll come back and just have you Professor calls it the name game, where you go in, I'm going to throw a name at you, like Curtis Lewa, and have you just, you know, tell us about him, different things like that, you know, and then we will wrap it up. So if you can just hang on there just a second, sir, I will be right back with you.
Okay.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking to Marcus Strider Dent. He is the commander for the Baltimore Guardian Angels, and he is an amazing guy. He's an amazing person to know. And, you know, if you don't know anything about the Guardian Angels and you're listening, then it's worth, like you say, it's worth a Google. Okay, because you're going to find out a lot of stuff that the Guardian Angels are into, and you may be a person that can fit right in, because they have many different things that they get into, such as he was saying, missing persons, the pet, just different things that they do that you may find your niche and find a way to give back, because it's an amazing, amazing group, and it's been around for a long time. And it's, you know, it's an honor to be a guardian angel. But what the Wolverine wants to talk about tonight on Kicking It with the Wolverine is the American flag and America itself. Okay, so, you know, this past weekend we went to Quebec, Canada. And Quebec, you know, Canada is our ally. You know, they're the friend country. But in Quebec, you know, they do not cater to other people, foreigners coming in, such as ourselves. You know, we did not speak French, so it made it very hard for us to find out information. Signs are not written in French or anything. And that's something that people need to start looking at here in the United States. Yes, we want to help as many people as we can from other countries, but at what expense do we finally stop and say, hey, you know what? Enough is enough. We are giving more than we're getting. And that's what people have to start realizing. And you know what? People in America have to realize that the other countries are watching us. And when we are bickering amongst ourselves on TVs and we have politicians making all these crazy accusations and doing all this craziness, it makes Americans look bad in its entirety. So we need to do like the guardian angels. We need to come together, bridge that divide, and realize that each and every one of us are American. And that, for that very reason, each and every one of us should strive to do the best we can to make America a place to where people look at us and they respect us. And used to be, you go out of the country, people would respect you. Nowadays, you go out of the country, you say you're American, you better be ready, because you in fear for your life, because nobody respects America anymore. So we've got to bring that respect back. And how do we bring that respect back? By respecting ourselves and our fellow Americans. America has got too overwhelmed with the me complex, or as I like to call it, these mamby-pamby chucklehead egomaniacs. You know, it's just like we talked about a few weeks ago with the stolen valor in the martial arts and in the military. Everybody is an egomaniac, no matter what they do. If they're a truck driver, I'm the best truck driver it's ever been. If they're a store clerk, oh, I'm the best store clerk. It don't matter what, and they want to have an attitude towards people instead of just being nice. You know what? A kind word will take you a long, long way. And, you know, my grandfather used to tell me, God give you two ears and one mouth because he meant for you to do twice as much listening as he did talking. So if people would stop and use that very thing and listen to what other people are saying and would empathize and go, you know what, I'm sure we can find some common ground here, the America would be a place, again, that everybody in the world would respect. And they should, because this country offers more than any place on earth and gives you the right to do things that normally you would not get to do. And like I say, while I was in Canada, I was fortunate enough to watch the news and have it translated over into English. And a lot of people in America are, you know, they want free health care, free health care, free health care. Yeah, you know, that's great. That sounds good. But somebody's got to pay for that free health care. So I'm watching the news in Canada, and they're talking about their health care, which is free. But nobody was bragging on it. They were crying. They were squalling. They were begging for help, because even though the health care is free, there's no doctors. There's no nurses. There's not enough medical staff to go around. So people are not being treated because of their free health care system. So we need to really set back and think, America, do we need to just make sure that we take care of each other and stop trying to find gimmicks and get-overs and just get together and become what we were meant to be, the greatest country in the world, and Americans. That's why it says, united we stand. You know, when people step on that flag and they kneel for that flag, they're not realizing the problem is the men and women that went to die for that flag, and that flag covers coffins, and there's dads and mothers and grandfathers that have laid down their life for that flag in this country. And each one of us as Americans, no matter what our opinions of politicians are, should look at that and go, you know what? I'm an American. I'm going to represent myself as an American, and I'm going to appreciate each and every American that I come into contact with, whether I agree with that American or not, because I'm in America and we have the right to our own opinion. And if everyone would acknowledge that and get along, then people could get farther down the road. You know, people in their entirety get along great. I've been to a lot of different areas in the United States where maybe I shouldn't have been, and people would think, oh, man, you don't want to go to that area. That's a bad area. But you know what? I'm nice to people, and I have a great time there. Nobody bothers me. You know why? Because I show people respect, you know, and that's the way it should be done. And everybody, for the most part, gets along unless the government's sticking their finger and stirring them up. So listen, ladies and gentlemen, my last thing is don't let people confuse you. Don't be confused by politicians and things of that nature. If each and every one of us start waking up and saying, I'm an American and I'm going to make America what it should be, the greatest country in the world, and a place to where everyone gets along and everybody's having a good time, then that's exactly what it'll be. Sure, there's going to be ups and downs, and there's still going to be, you know, robberies and crime. But you know what? With groups like the Guardian Angels and people being decent human beings, we can bring an end to a lot of this stuff. All right, that's the Wolverine's rant, and man, with Professor had been cutting me off and fussing at me right there, hollering Wolverine. So you know how bad that would have been. So at this time, we're going to bring on Mr. Denton again and talk to him about, I'm going to throw out some legends' names and have him just give us some feedback and some personal stories. All right, Mr. Denton, you there?
I'm here.
All right, Mr. Strider. All right, so this is the legends' name game. The professor created it, so it's just like a 2-minute sparring match or whatever. I just throw out a name, and you just tell a story or what this person means to you in your life. You ready for that?
I'm ready.
All right. First name is Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Yes,
understatement, sir, when it comes to his importance. I think that, like, I met him when I was 17 years old, and although I can call Curtis a good friend, I get to spend time with him, it's amazing to me because I still get wild when I talk to him, when I see him, or when I'm around him, and basically not because of the star factor, but because of what he's done and what he means to so many people, and you've met him. You never know. He's just one of the guys, and he doesn't get it. You can walk down the street with him. You can't make it a city block with Curtis without 10 people running up on him wanting autographs and pictures, and he stops for every single one of them. He's a great guy. I'm glad that, you know, he's an honor to have in my life.
Yeah, and like you say, the power and the energy he brings, you know, when he's speaking and getting things together. That's what, you know, a lot of people, they've not got the, you know, everybody obviously has not got to witness that, but I wish people could, because, you know, like I was saying earlier, his speeches and the way he goes about things, it does unite people. It does bring people together, and he sheds a lot of light on things, and he's got a lot of insight. That's the amazing part, so much insight on so many situations.
And it's amazing. Do you know that the man must read more than a dozen newspapers every single day from every city? It's amazing. He sends me articles before the news came out in Baltimore. Hey, did you read this article? And I'm like, dude, I'm here. And I didn't get a chance to see the news. But it's amazing. He's an amazing human being. He really is.
Yeah, and that's the epitome of staying on top of things and leading from the front. That's what that is. When you're the leader and you're already sending things out to the areas that other people are at,
right,
and they hadn't had a chance to see it yet, and you already in
yeah,
the know, that's being a leader.
That's being a leader, definitely.
Yep. All right. What about Superfoot Bill Wallace?
Super. I mean, that man still gives me chills. And because anybody who knows Bill Superfoot Wallace knows I think that he is basically going. He is one of the last great grandmasters out there, and he's been in the game a long time. And it's crazy to me because meeting him, you know, he was an idol of mine. He was in my magazines. I had his pictures on my wall. You know, I used the same training equipment he used when I was a kid, you know, but when I got to meet him, it's amazing because, like I said, he calls or check up on me. I'll call him, but he turned out to be a friend. And again, he's one of those people where you say to yourself, holy smokes, this is Bill Superfoot Wallace. But at the same time, you know, this is the same guy that's saying, hey, Strider, how you doing, buddy? How you doing? You know, I could call him and say, hey, I need you to come to Baltimore to give me a hand with something. And you know what he does? He comes to Baltimore. No questions, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And when I see him out of town, you know, you would think that you were the most important person in the room when you're around Bill Superfoot Wallace, you know. It's amazing.
Yeah.
These, you know, so like I said, I'm just honored to have these great guys in my life. You know, it's amazing. You know, you know him. You know, what a great guy.
Yeah.
I mean, how does he make you feel when you're in the room with him, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Well, you know, I grew up with Grandmaster Joe Louis. And, you know, so I was around Bill Wallace all the time. So I actually referred to Grandmaster Wallace as Uncle Bill. And people hear me say Uncle Bill, and they're like, what? Bill Wallace is your uncle? But I actually call him Uncle Bill. Because I've been around him that long, you know, and he's great. And to have gotten to be there to witness the banner and the crazy shenanigans that him and Joe Louis would get into and say to each other is just something that you'll never forget. You can't ever forget it because they were the best of friends and, you know, constantly getting something on the other one and going over stuff and, you know, just things of that nature. And even with me going back and forth, you know, Grandmaster Louis would say, go over there and punch Uncle Joe in the head. And Uncle Bill would say, hey, when you go over there, kick Joe in the head and tell him that's from me. You know, just constantly back and forth, you know, just always doing something, them two guys.
You know,
I
missed my chance.
Go ahead.
I missed my chance to meet Joe Louis when I was younger, and unfortunately he passed away before my instructor was able to make it happen. And it's funny because you can kind of still feel that connection with Joe Louis through Bill Wallace, you know, and because those two were just so close, you know, and it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, and they were, and you know, it's a great loss to have lost, you know, Grandmaster Louis. You know, not a day goes by that I don't think about him and put to use the things that he taught me, not only just in the martial arts, but in my day-to-day life. Next one, what about Cynthia Rothrock?
Oh, another one of my heroes, you know, and I've had she's great, isn't she? You know, I mean, I grew up watching her movies and all that. But then again, you know, thanks to Sean Kelly and the martial arts and the Guardian Angels, I get to meet these people. And when I see Cynthia Rothrock, I just shake my head because, you know, what do you do? These are people that were all heroes of you when you know, and now you get to see them and call them by their first name. But she is the Dragon Princess. She is amazing, and she's still amazing. And again, all these people are just so down to earth. You just shake your head. I can't get over it. You know, I just love her to death.
Right. We were at Alan Goldberg's event a couple years ago, and I come in, and of course, you know, I try to get a picture with her every year because we sit and talk, and She had just got this new camera, and she was like, she was getting somebody to take my picture, me and her, on her new camera. And then everybody was like, "Who are you?" And I'm like, "I'm just nobody. I'm just the Wolverine. That's okay."
Yeah, right.
And
you're nobody compared to me.
Don't worry about me. I'm just the Wolverine.
Don't worry about me.
It'll be all right.
Yeah, I'm no one.
But they were just so, why is Cynthia Rothrock taking her personal camera out and getting somebody to take a picture of you and her together? You know, so that was a pretty good thing, because, you know, that made me feel pretty good. People are like, "Hey, why Cynthia Rothrock wants that guy's picture?"
It's amazing how they make you feel, you know. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah. It's a great time. Well,
really,
I know
is.
we're about out of time. And we've burned up the show. So if somebody wanted to get in touch with you to get information on becoming a guardian angel, you want to tell the listeners how they would go about that?
Yeah, I mean, depending on where you are in the world, you can always go to guardianangels.org, and that will give you a list of the closest guardian angel in your area, and you can contact me at BaltimoreGuardianAngels@gmail.com, or go on Facebook under Marcus Strider Dent, and you know, you'll find the Guardian Angels. We're everywhere, so you can't miss us. But I want to thank you, Wolverine, for having me on the show. This was awesome. I really enjoyed it, and I look forward to seeing you soon. And we got a lot of work.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, we do, and I definitely look forward to doing it. You know, I love being a martial arts competitor, but the main thing I love the most is giving back to the community. That's why I love training the military to give back to my country. And I love being in the Guardian Angels because I can give back to my community. And that is a great, great honor that not everyone gets to do. And like you said before, the Guardian Angels just don't let in anybody. You have to be a good person of good character, and that's the great thing about the Guardian Angels, is that they look for people. They don't have to be martial arts world champion, but you have to be someone that is a good person and is going to do the right thing for humanity, for people in general, and that's the good thing. And Mr. Dent, I'd like to say, you know, it's been a great show having you on the show tonight. In my opinion, it's been one of the best interviews we've had, and it's given Adi a lot of great information, you know, about the Guardian Angels. And I hope that we had a lot of listeners tonight. But I'm going to be sharing this on the on my Facebook pages, and you can share it over to your page. And we will share it to all the Sport Karate History Museum pages so people can come in and listen to this, because this is a great thing that people need to be aware of, because a lot of people, like you say, especially down south. Now, up north, everybody knows about the Guardian Angels, but, you know, down south, they're starting to learn more and more about it. But, you know, we need it to be all over the country, and I feel like the more chapters of Guardian Angels they are throughout the United States, the better rapport people in those areas are going to have with each other, because the Guardian Angels do so much work in bridging the gap between all the people that may live in a certain city. And that's a big job, and it's an important job, and they do that with respect towards every person that they meet. And that's a great thing, and I certainly want to thank you for letting me be part of the Guardian Angels. I take it very serious and make sure that I don't do anything to ever let the Guardian Angels down. And I know that you know, people don't understand that you know, like, as soon as my house caught on fire, you were one of the first people that got in touch with me, you know, and people don't realize that, you know, I feel good, because every time I go up north and I'm, like, even driving to Quebec, I'm like, oh, there's, you know, if I need to, Baltimore's right there. I'm in an area where I got people that if something happens,
that's right.
I know
got
I've
family.
Got people to help me. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know,
right.
Because that's important. And that's what people, you know, they don't understand about part of the stuff they do. But now, since we had you on the show, maybe more people will understand it and more people will get involved with it. And like I say, it was an honor to get to talk to you, honor to get to have you on the show, and it was an honor to get to hear all about the Guardian Angels and learn more about the group of people that I'm a part of. So I just want to thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you. My pleasure to have you on it. Thank you so much, sir.
All righty, sir. Well, I will be talking with you probably later on this week. Anyway.
That'll work.
All righty, sir. Well, you have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Marcus Strider Dent. He is the commander of the Guardian Angels for the Baltimore chapter, an amazing, amazing person, an amazing martial artist in his own right. And that's like what goes back to what Mr. Bowen was saying about, the book and letting people in that people may not know about because, you know, he's not using his martial arts skills to go and compete in world championships, but what he's doing is even more important than that. And he does it for free and selfless. You know, he's not being selfish about it. He just gives of himself and his time to help other people. And that's what I was saying earlier in the Kicking It with the Wolverine, is if each and every person would just give 5 minutes of their self to America and to the people of America, how great could this country be? But I want to, in closing, remind you to get your nominations in for the book with Mr. Bowen. I want to remind you once again of the Living Legends. Now, at the Living Legends Celebrity Roast, they will also be the Maximizer Award, which will be Robin Shockley will be giving those out. And that is a big deal, and that's for women and people that are you know, maximizing themselves and moving themselves forward and that kind of thing. So those awards will be given out. There will be the Hawaiian Whammy, the sparring. There will be Kata Wars. There will be Bubble Kumite. There will be Jim Paskey. Okay, a lot of people might not know what that is, but I love Mr. Paskey and Mr. Smith and Steve Parks. These guys sat in on my belt rank exam. Colonel Philip Torres will be there. I mean, just so many amazing people. Daryl Stewart will be there, and we give Daryl a hard time, but we love Mr. Stewart. There's just going to be so many amazing people there, and it's going to be such an amazing event. It's something that you don't want to miss. And then don't forget, turn around right in November, a Hawaiian double whammy. We will have John Natividad roast. And what a great time that's going to be. I mean, just to be out there around John Natividad is going to be a great time for people. So that's something that they definitely should be looking forward to. So once again, I just want to thank everybody. And I want to say to Professor, I love you. And we're praying for you. I'm sending you energy, hoping you get better soon. And just so you know, I am training hard every day. And put to use the skills that you have me put to use, and I do what you tell me, and I'm here for you, and as well as thousands of other people, because Professor, you've made an impact on so many people all over the world. You are truly loved, sir, and it is such an honor to be your student, and I just want to say we love you. I hope you, ladies and gentlemen, have had a great time listening to the show. We'll be back next week. And I will be posting up their guests for that, but I will give you a hint. They are on the cast of Blue Blood. And so a lot of people probably watch that show, and this guy's on that show, so I'm not going to give his name away until tomorrow when we start posting it up for next week. But he will be on the show. So as always, and in the words of Professor Gary Lee, aloha and mahalo.